Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Marcia Cappuccino, Dr. C, Dr. Cappuccino here. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your morning schedule to tune in and hear from the latest and from the so-called wonderful Dr. Colonel William Harrison. He's been with us every week for over a year, and we're so happy to have his wisdom and, of course, information coming not only from law enforcement, but from the pulpit. He will be arriving on the call in a few moments, but I want to go over the topic. You know, we're kind of getting away from our usual what must I do topic series today. One Lord, one faith, one baptism for all, black or white. There's a lot of racial divide going on, and there's a lot of issues regarding who's wrong, who's right when it comes to disseminating information on cultural aspects of races, and it's just here in America, it's just a big mess. So we're going to use the topic this morning, one Lord, one faith, one baptism for all, black or white, because we want to know, what does one do with knowledge of impending doom? What can you say to a nation bent on self-destruction? And a nation is certainly bent on self-destruction when there's no unity. You know, when you're unified, you can build a house in a weekend. When you're unified, you can lift a Jeep truck off of a child that has been crushed and run over. When you are unified, there's nothing that you cannot do. But we know certain forces in our world and our universe know that if there's no unity in any project or any endeavor, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be trouble. And somebody's got to identify that chaos and say, wait just a minute. What is the solution to this? And this is where we're going this morning on our topic, one Lord, one faith, one baptism for all, black or white. I don't think there's any leader in the world can stand up and give credence to any particular race. And the reason being is because we all originate. If we are believers in creation, the creative man and woman, we have all manifested from one source. So to say, you know what, he's white, I'm going to kill him. She's black, you know, I'm going to rape her. I'm going to strangle her. I'm going to kill her. We have to look at that and say something is wrong when that type of thinking is somewhere in our system and it may not be in another. Hey, that's not true. We're all originators from one source. And I see Colonel Harrison has arrived. Colonel Harrison, how are you doing this morning? Colonel Harrison, are you with us?
Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Colonel Harrison, I'm hey, hi. Where are you? What's going on? What are you doing? What are you doing there?
Good morning. Good morning, Doc.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Colonel Harrison, are you there? What's going on?
Yes.
What is going on back there?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. My radio dialed the call-in number twice. I apologize. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, to you and the listening audience. Hopefully you can hear me now.
Right, we can hear you loud and clear. We have a problem in the world, and I know you know all about it. We have a racial divide. We have people threatening to kill one race off and the other us to stand strong. We have so much going on. You know, I wish we had more than a half an hour, but it's okay. It didn't take God all day to create man. So, of course, you know, we can get some dimension of the show off in a mighty way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. What is the problem going on now in the world with so many different races at each other's throats? Is that the answer? I'm saying to be unified, to become unified against all forms of evil, wickedness, anything that might separate and divide the presence of humanity. What do you think is the answer?
The answer to the discord that's existing between the human race without regard to race, color, nationality, or creed is the divide. Divide is caused because of lack of unity, lack of love. Unity meaning oneness, lack of love. Clearly the Bible says, I'm my brother's keeper and others are their brother's keeper. Therefore, we also are sister's keeper. We have to look out for each other's welfare, because if we don't, we either will swim together or we will drown together. It's due to the stress from what's going on in the world. Part of it is the virus, but before the virus, there was a disconnect and a discord. And the discord is because of a lack of compassion, love, unity, one fellow man for another, one fellow woman for another.
Well, do you see that changing anytime in our near future or in your lifetime? Do you see that changing? Because I'm just asking, because on a lot of these social media platforms and a lot of the newspapers, you see so much hate and so much ugliness. You don't see people on these sites mainly to encourage and to build up and to uplift. You see a lot of haters there. What is that about? People should be, of course, as you just mentioned, unifying themselves against evil. But you see a lot of our problems today is bent on hatred, which, of course, has led to a racial divide. Did you see a change in your lifetime, that type of behavior?
There's a window for change, but it's a shallow window, Doc. And the reason the hatred has emerged is because of division. And if people believe that they're superior, one race superior to the other, that's going to create discord. We all were created in the likeness and the image of the Godhead. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have to teach our children love. When mother breached that child from the womb, the mother's to pamper that child, care for that child, nurture that child, feed that child, milk independently or breastfeed, whatever it takes to raise that child up in that admonition of love and caring and kindness and so forth. And so when we don't teach that at the infant structure and then later years, then they join gangs and they get involved in other external forces that lead them the wrong way. So that's part of the problem. To turn this thing around, we have to become unified in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, our towns, our states, and not pursue unforeseen wealth and riches. People see job as a means to getting ahead. Money was originally designed for us to be able to take care of our obligations. It was never meant for one who worked in a job to ever get rich. It wasn't designed that way. Whatever I accumulate, whatever I have, I buy, I take care of my family. What surplus I have left, I share with my neighbor. That was the original intent of us sharing our resources. But we've gotten away from that. So hatred, competition, all that stuff has come about.
Well, is it destroying Black America? I get a lot of calls, a lot of emails through the week, and they're concerned. You have legislators, you have top politicians, you have those in education, especially in the medical world. They're saying, oh, my God, what is all this about? Why is this happening? It seems like a dust bowl of hatred has dropped over America. What do you see as a culmination of problems bent on hatred ever changing its course?
The place that we all need in our lives, whether we want to accept it or believe it or not, the unifier that will unify all of us without differences to our race, our color, our financial capability or lack of capability, the source that is being rejected that can unify all of us is the church, believe it or not. I know churches, some churches are closing down, and I'm talking about non-denominational churches. I'm not going to talk about one particular denomination. Non-denominational churches of God can unify us. That's the unifier, and that's the thing that most people have turned away from. And when we turn away from that which has been put there from the beginning for man to use as a basis and woman to use as a basis for their children and for their structure, for their values, for their morals, and give them direction in life, when you turn away from that, you're turning away from the unity, and you're turning us, in essence, as human beings against one another.
You are. You know, there are some people that get an enjoyment for that. They wake up with evil intent and discord, and they lie down. That's what the scriptures, Holy Scriptures, state. But right now, it appears that Black America, African-Americans in America are just, oh, my God, they are so upset. You know, I have social media accounts, and some of the stuff on there is just horrid, just downright ugly and horrid. You wouldn't want to spend one night in the universe with some of these people that post some of these horrific, horrible, God-defaming, human-defaming, woman-defaming, man-defaming posts. And I'm saying that because the emails and the correspondence that I got, again, that they're saying that Black America is just livid with hatred. And you know what? I'm not saying they don't have a good reason not to be, but what have, and I know you're a minister, what have Black ministers been teaching their parishioners about hate? What have they been teaching it about forgiveness? I'm going to put a post on there this morning about forgiving the white man, forgiving the Black man, forgiving self, forgiving your mama, forgiving your ex-husband. I think forgiveness really should be in order with so much discord. We're never going to get anywhere because, as we stated, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Whoever hates whoever, whoever is white, whoever is Black, we all started from one source. And that source, one Lord, is behind it all. So I'm pretty sure that there's an answer for all of the misgivings and the hatred and the collusion against each other. You know what? I don't know. I may be wrong, but I'm going to say, hey, America is in for forgiveness. Whatever the white man did, forgive him. Whatever the Black man stole, forgive him. Whatever. Is this something that you teach in your ministry for forgiveness as a way of unifying your neighborhood or your community or the problems that we face? Do you teach that?
Absolutely. Yes, Doug. Let me tie it in with first century quick comments from the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, about three quick verses, the unity of the Spirit. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Paul was saying he was a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized in order to get along with his fellow men, he was given a gift to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to get along with his fellow men, Jew and Gentile, he had to humble himself, walk lowly, not put himself, exalt himself above them, and treat them with kindness and with love and be patient and tolerant of them. And those principles Paul said was right. That's what I teach. Second Union Baptist Church, I teach love. Let love be without dissimulation, without bias, without anger, without indifferences, because love is stronger than hate. And love is the most powerful four-letter word in the English vocabulary. And if we use it, we exercise it in the right context, we can better society and turn things around. And we'll become more loving, more kind, more understanding, because everyone wants peace. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone needs resources. Everyone needs a roof over their head, clothes on the back, food on their table. Why can't we love and share what we have with one another, those who don't have, the have and the have not? Love is the key.
Yeah. You sure are right, because you know what? there's a scripture also that says love never fails. But when you get a bunch of people who are hell-bent on wickedness and don't even know who they are when they wake up in the morning, I just got to get on my social media account and spread some destruction. Wow, you hit it on the nail head. But are you saying that people really want to do better, only they forgive? Do you feel people really want to be outstanding citizens if only they forgive? What are you actually saying? What is the component of a person needing to be forgiven and then someone that needs to forgive? What is the difference? Do they both work both sides?
First, we go back to the principle, if I love myself, I'll love others. Then, if someone has offended me, someone has done something wrong to me, I have to rise above that and be able to forgive them for whatever it is they have done against or toward me. And so this thing of carrying hatred, carrying bitterness, carrying grudges, all that does is destroy a person from within. I refuse to let anything anyone has done to me wrongfully, intentionally or unintentionally, destroy my inner person, my inner character. We got to let go, let God, let that mess go. I don't let it into my spirit. I teach my members not to let it into their spirit. Be forgiven, be loving, be kind. And then a higher power will take care of those who keep offending against you. But you can't go through the world hating people, because you're going to be consumed by it. And eventually, each time you become consumed with someone with a negative impulse or reaction you have toward them, you are destroying yourself. Little by little by little, more by more by more, every day, until you let it go.
Oh wow, I'm getting a little, you know, tingle hearing that. Well, I tell you what, it sounds like you're the right man to lead the International Platform for Peace, a march on Washington coming up the weekend of Father's Day. All are invited, but I understand on last Wednesday you had a conference call and you talked about locations. You talked about the theme of the march, which is I Have a New Dream, and we talked about how you were going to really get a following there so that they can see that the black man can be organized, the black man can be unified, and the black man is no coward. He's going to show up in behalf of a lot of things going on, but mainly to tell the world by a show of attendance and fortification that, hey, there's nothing wrong with the black man. Time now for you to recognize not only the black man and his fullness of who he is, but his contributions made in the United States of America. I am so happy to say, yay, I'm a part of that, and that I will be coming along beside you guys and, you know, enjoying myself there in D.C. for that weekend. And I know it is going to be something that is going to be awesome, because you're going to have state representation there. Governors are going to be contacted in each state in the United States, and they're going to pledge their support. If they can send reps, fine. If not, your caravan will be out there. Now, many are saying, oh, you know what, D.C. might be closed down, whatever. There's caravans now even for graduates or on top of cars and leaning out of them, going in the middle of the streets with their pants on the side. I mean, it's where there's a will, there's a way. So I know you're excited. I'm excited. Again, the theme of this month is I Have a New Dream. And it's certainly time for a new dream, because while we recognize the great strength of Dr. Martin Luther King, we recognize, hey, from the 1960s to 2020, oh, my God. Oh, my God, you're talking almost 50 years worth of turmoil since Dr. King's original march. So we're seeking answers in the way of a show of those that will be coming alongside you for this march again, Father's Day weekend. Now, what is going to be your major focus for the march, Dr. Harrison?
The major focus for the march is to organize and mobilize us with respect to justice, with respect to peace, with respect to love, with respect to unity. That's going to be the thrust of our emphasis and our objectives to demonstrate and illustrate that and encourage people, not only those who come together here in D.C., but those who go back to their various homes and places of abode to spread that same sentiment throughout their communities, starting with family, throughout the neighborhood, their communities, and so forth and so on. We got to turn this thing around. We have enough fighting against an invisible enemy called COVID-19. So that's going to be the thrust, and my guesstimate, the most powerful march that has ever been was the Million Man March several years ago. So we're endeavoring to do it from a similar perspective, but a different perspective, mobilizing people with regards to love, unity, peace, justice, etc.
Well, you know what? I'm excited. I can hardly wait myself. You know, I'm getting a few people to come along beside me for this spectacular endeavor. Now, this coming Wednesday at 6 p.m., those that are interested can call 605 area code 475-5910. This is the call-in number. And the access code is 238-6981. So all is invited to join in and get more information on this historic march. If you can crawl, if you got a cane, if you need to be pushed in a wheelchair, if you can just barely stand, make it your aim to be helped, to be a part of Father's Day, what I call the holiday weekend, for the actual International Platform for Peace. A march. And the theme again is we have a new dream. You better have a new dream because, hey, the things going on in the world today are new to many people. And I was just hearing something this morning where China and Russia are talking about a blockade, making sure there's going to be a problem with food and other things getting through to America, especially coming in through the Gulf of Mexico. People better wake up while we're talking about one thing and saying, oh, you know, COVID hadn't gotten me yet. We better be thinking about what's coming along also in the future, not only for ourselves, but for the family as well. Colonel Harrison, if you were counseling, let's say, a group of people on how love is the only answer for stopping a bunch of chaos that we see now going on in the world. How'd you do that?
Well, I'll begin by setting the example as a standard bearer, the one who wants others to love he or she has to demonstrate love themselves. People have to see love within me in order for me to instill love in them. And that's what I do at Second Union Baptist Church. Visitors come, so this is a loving church. They feel the spirit in the church. So I demonstrate, I illustrate those principles that pertain to love, unity, lack of if someone likes resources, if seniors need the prescription drugs, or if someone is sick, we visit the sick and shut in. We demonstrate it. We pray for those who request and desire prayer, and even those who don't. And I basically try to walk in love. I try to live in love. I demonstrate love in all that I do, in my actions and my reactions. I try to be mindful and conscious of that so that people will see that I'm practicing what I preach and what I teach. So love has to be demonstrated by the person who's teaching or preaching. That it has to be illustrated, and people have to see it in the person who's promoting it.
Well, are you going to be promoting and speaking about love as a general sub-theme and in your march there on Washington? Are you going to be discussing that? Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are not talking about loving each other. They say you can get more out of a person by hating them than loving them. Oh, that's crazy. And you don't see a lot of love in marriages. You don't see a lot of love in friendships. You don't see loving behavior in some of these retail stores. I mean, you don't see that anywhere at all. How successful do you think you're going to be continuing to preach love, love thyself, love thy neighbor? How are you going to do that in a disunified world?
The primary topic would be justice and peace and illustrating and promoting and unity. A love would be a subcategory, a subtopic, which they will see, they will feel, they will be able to discern. But justice, peace, and unity is going to be the thrust. The country is divided. The people within the country are divided. There's injustices going on. There's discord. There's no peace. There's no happiness. So justice, peace, and unity is going to be the thrust, going to be the theme, and out of that will come the emphasis for us to unify again and to start becoming more kind and loving and respectful of one another.
Well, that surely sounds like a hard deal. You have so many haters in America. Now, I believe the theme is I have a new dream, but the subtenant is that you mentioned, what would this new dream encompass? I have an idea, but from your perspective, when a person says, I have a new dream, that means they've already dreamed before. Maybe that dream didn't work out. Maybe it never came to pass. Maybe that dream needed some help to formulate itself. But now I have a new dream. What is this? And you don't have to tell us everything. Just tell us a little bit because, you know, we don't want to spill those things yet. But I have a new dream. What are a couple of the components of a new dream for 2020, 20th century America?
Beginning would be uniting us as one in America, uniting Americans as one. Without regards to our background, without regards to our resources, without regards to our educational abilities, without regards to race, reuniting America. The dream is to reunite Americans as one. Right now we're divided, we're fragmented. There's too much discord. We're not united as one. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. We must come back into the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so uniting Americans again as one, we will turn back to those basic principles for which this country was built upon, which were Judeo-Christian principles. We'll start becoming more loving, more kind, and so forth and so on. If I don't like my neighbor, I'm not going to have anything to do with my neighbor. What reason I don't like my neighbor? I have to love my neighbors myself, but I have to find something common, a common ground that we are concerned about each other's survival, each other's welfare, each other's betterment. And the way we touch on that is through unity. Then we can address the justice, lack of justice, injustices. We can address peace and lack of peace, those kinds of things. I think unity is the key through this I Have a New Dream.
Oh, my God. I'm almost wishing this march was in the morning, because you have really hit it home. Now, I sat up here and I pulled up on the computer, I Have a Dream speech by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. at the March on Washington, 1963. So 63, 73, 83, 93, 2003, 50 years. I mean, oh, my God. I'm really going to make sure that I'm on this call Wednesday. But Colonel Harrison, in the speech here that Dr. King gave, he says, I have a dream today. Now, I'm not going to read it all because we don't have that kind of time. But he certainly was stressing that we cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we march ahead. I want to talk to you some more about this. I'm going to be on the call also Wednesday, but thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. We have about 10 seconds to go. Please, please, please visit www.ipforpeace.org for more information. God bless you. Hopefully we'll hear from you on Wednesday. If not, next Saturday we'll complete the One Lord, One Baptism. Have a great weekend, and thank you again for tuning in.